Good morning. As you notice, Dennis is at another church, and I drew the short straw, so I am here today, and I'm excited to be here. I am excited. Today, this whole month has been on serving. Today is how do we serve God? What do we need to do in our lives to serve God? And I'll tell you what, because I've my mom was a hospice nurse, and one of the things I remember growing up is when you're with hospice patients, it's nothing but serving. 100% serve. It is a very difficult task. It is probably, if you have a gift of serving, it is still hard because you have to literally die to your time, to your talent, to serve somebody. You know, I'll clear this up a little bit. Some people serve because they want to benefit back. But the way we serve when we are connected to Christ is we don't want none of the glory. We don't want none of that, nothing that we could ever boast about when we serve. We do it because we give glory to who we're related to. You know, he served us on the cross. You know, and so when we serve out of the abundance of our heart because of what God's done in our lives. If we do it because to feel something, it never lasts, and we have to serve again, and then feel it, and then it leaves and leaves. Serving is a very difficult thing. Queen Esther in chapter 4, she had to stand before a king, and her uncle Mordecai goes to her, look, 13 million of your people are fixing to die if you do not go before the king and petition him to stop this. And Esther talks to her uncle Mordecai and says, I can only go before the king unless he summons me, or he could take my life. Then Mordecai responds, look, you've been chosen for such a time as this. You've been chosen to do this, to stand before a king and plead for your people. And Esther said, well, let's pray about it, because if I die, I die. She just gives her life in just service for her people. And for some of us, being at home with body parts that don't work in relatives and moms and dads, that's a tough thing, because every day it is like a serve kind of thing, and so much has to be poured out of you to serve, and you're like, I get no recognition. I get no glory for this. I just have to serve, and you're put in a position, in a difficult position. But you've been chosen for such a time as this to represent the God who made you, the God that is whole inside of you, to do the difficult things. Even if you don't have the calling of service, that's a tough thing, and I respect that so much. To serve is a very difficult thing, because it takes so much out of you, and you want the reward, and you want the accolades. Look what, and sometimes it's not there. It is not there. And that's when you do it for the glory of God and not yourself. To do those difficult things. So, as you know, I'm a youth minister. So you will laugh in part of this lesson today. And you might uncontrollably laugh. So I'm going to prepare you that that's probably going to happen. Okay? So, but you won't laugh at this part. Okay. So what is one of the first things we have to do when we serve God? You know, and then we have to give him us. We have to surrender our lives to Him. You cannot serve a God you have no relationship with. Okay? You can't. So you have to give Him your heart. And so we've been, if you've ever read Deuteronomy, I just learned how to spell it. It's the E. I thought it was a U for so many years. So it's the E after the D, and then the U. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, and my son is like laughing at me. He's like, Dad, you're so old. You should have spelled it already. But listen, okay? I never really paid attention. It's just a long word. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy starts with a D-E. Chapter 6, if you want to go there. We're going to ride on it a little bit because I think it's so cool. If you ever read it, it is insane because God is talking to His people and He is revealing Himself to them. And Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord God with all your strength, all your soul, and all your mind. No, all your heart. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. All your strength, everything. Translations just pick it up in different. But with everything that you have. You know? And so I got to reading this and I started thinking crazy stuff because my imagination just went crazy here. Because you can't serve God if you don't have a relationship with Him. And this is what the Jewish people do. It's called Shema. Okay, I learned that too. Okay, it's Hebrew Shema. And basically they translate, they say it in the morning. When they wake up in the morning, they go and they quote Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. Every morning without stop. And then, it gets worse. And then in the evening they do it too. So they not only quote it in the morning, but they quote it in the evening. I guess repetitiveness. You don't forget. And they didn't want to forget. So we're going to read that today. Chapter 6, verse 4, Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them as you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. You shall, and they shall be and the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them down on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. See, I was excited about that because I know if somebody's willing to do that, they probably have some relationship with God. Right? Because I started thinking, I said, well, I have this thing in my house, one of my customers in lawn care wrote it and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a big old thing that she embroidered with her hands and put it together. Here, you're going to move into a house and it's your new house. I want to hang it somewhere. And we did. So every time you go into a room, it's there. It's embroidered. It's not the prettiest thing, but it's lovely because it has God's word on it. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what she said. This is your move-in present. So I'm like, well, I'm kind of hanging the stuff in my house. So when you see it, here's the problem. You stop seeing those things all the time. It just becomes part of furniture. You know what I mean? It just becomes like, it's just there, and there's a cabinet, there's a TV, and whatever that is. I do not think God ever thought that this was a physical thing that was supposed to happen. Because if you go in there, if you read it, He said, I want you to tell your children, I want you to teach them diligently about me, to love God. And I started thinking, I said, well, I do that. I said, yeah, score. Ah, score for me. Okay, I'm in ministry. So, and it's easy, you know. But then he goes, because you have a relationship with God when you walk everywhere. Hey, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my God that I met. And wherever you go, you do that. And then I love the picture of the word, because you have to go out a door all the time, right? When you leave, you have got to go. And he said, I want you to hang it. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. And you have it. So when you're walking out the door, okay, when I go out the door, this is what I'm going to do. And then wherever I go, I'm going to tell everybody to love the Lord God with all my heart, all my strength, and all my mind. I'm going to not only do that, I'm going to teach. And then I started thinking, I said, well, where are some of the things I would write on the door jamb? If I had a door, you know. And now, look, in my brain, I was going to make a door jamb here today. Okay, that was what I was going to do. And I said, man, I don't want to be that crazy prop preacher. Okay, and that's what I said. I don't want to be that crazy prop preacher, because I was going to have a door jam right here. I said, well, how hard would it be for me to make a door here? I'm like, I can make a door jam. You know, I've been in carpentry, and I could do that. And I started thinking, I said, well, what would I write on the door jam to give me that motivation, so when I leave and I have to go face the world, and I start thinking in my brain, I'm going to fail. And I started, and my imagination started just going, and it's like, I love God. I had the whole picture in my brain. I was going to have big old signs. I was going to put it on. Please forgive me. I would have wrote, God, I love you. And I was going to elaborate a giant door jam, and you would have had it. I didn't want to be that prop preacher. You know, one preacher I know, you know, he brought a Corvette on stage, you know. But, okay, I don't have that money, but I could have got wood. But what would I have wrote that would identify me as having a relationship with my God? Because think about this. If you really delve into this, you are going to be, as a dad, to teach your children. You're going to serve God by teaching a generation. The next generation, that's, you're going to keep serving to God to tell your children about how God, what God has done, to love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. You know what I mean? So you were going to serve in that way. And then when you left the house, you were meant to serve. You know, it didn't stop at your house. And then it said, well, you're sitting down, you know, and you're lounging about, and you're just like, let me tell you about my God. And you just, and everybody in the house knows that you have a relationship with your God. And I just thought the picture of this whole Deuteronomy was beautiful. I'm like, man, I want that. But then my kids would have hated me if I would have loved God. You know, I would have just, love Jesus, you know, before you leave the house. You know, and I'm like, okay. Let me just be a dad that is a living example, so they can see, and they can see why I am the way that I am. So when I leave the house, my relationship does not stop there. It goes out into the audience of whoever I contact it with. And they see that I love God. And it is such an attractive kind of thing. And I have just a joy and a love that they see the Christ in me, that I don't even have to speak. It's just evident. Because, you know, and then I started, man, it started weighing on me. Man, when I have a relationship with God, it gets revealed by the way. There's a bad part of this. Because if I have it there all the time, I forget it. It's there all the time, and I go out, and then I hear a voice from my wife. It says, "It's not always about you, Joe." That's what she says to me all the time. Okay, yeah, and then it's not always about me. And then I have to die again to serve. So, one of the first things to serve God, because a lot of people do a lot of good. I work with Special Olympics, and there's people there that don't know God, but they serve. They don't have a relationship with God, but they serve for their glory, just for service. I never want to be accused of doing that when it's about me and not representing my God. I never, ever, because I'll tell you what, it feels good to serve and to get accolades for it. But to serve when you don't expect nothing back, that is a difficult thing. It is a very difficult thing. So, I got a list of stuff. And let me see what else. See what we got. I wrote stuff down, honest. Shema, okay. God wants you before your service. God desires love, not religion. God values relationship and not a performance. The heart is the innermost center of thought and the will of emotion. That's what the heart is. This really bothered me for the longest time when I was at the beginning of my early throngs of Christianity, when Jeremiah was like, the heart is evil above all things. And then you're like, love the Lord God with all your heart. And it was hard for me to decipher, what's he talking about? Well, one heart is led by emotion, and one heart is led by God. So it's different. The heart they're talking about is the inside, the thing that controls you. You can live without oxygen for a time. You can live without water. You can live without food, but you can't live without a heart. And it's your everything. So love the Lord God with all your heart, not part of your heart, not some of your heart, but with everything. And you just throw it out there and you just go out your door, and you're loving God, and you relate, and you have a relationship with Him, and it's a working, active relationship. This was a tough one too, man. Next is surrender. That's difficult. Because when you surrender, that means you give up everything. You want to serve God? Next step. First thing is relationship. Next thing is surrender. That means you give up. Not my will be done, your will be done in my life. You know what I mean? That's hard to do. That's a difficult task to just totally surrender and say, I don't want nothing of me in this. And I surrender all. I give it up. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says you are supposed to present your bodies as living sacrifices. I'm like, look, that was a very difficult thing to read when you first become a Christian. Because all the time you're thinking, man, stuff's fixing to die when it gets sacrificed. Old Testament, you know, preacher, you know, the lamb and the ram, and they would just slaughter all the way through. And then, and if you read the Old Testament at all, when they sacrifice, there's blood everywhere, and it's like, ugh. And then I'm supposed to be a sacrifice? I'm like, who's coming for me? But then Jesus becomes that sacrifice. And then when it's phrased here that we become a living sacrifice, that we die to everything that we have. To serve God is to die to everything that you have. I'm like, oh my gosh, that means I have no identity anymore. That means my identity is in Christ. Man, when I leave this place, my identity is in Christ. I left my house through the door, and my identity is in Christ. They're going to know I have a relationship with God if I have that much surrender in my life. Isn't that crazy? That's the way God planned His people to be. He didn't plan it for you to just identify with Him at church, but in everyday life to surrender. That is hard. That is difficult. Especially when you're just playing church. That is a difficult thing. So, surrender. The second thing is surrender. First thing is relationship. Second thing is surrender. Nothing is in specific order, but you've got to have the relationship. I'm fixing to go down a list. It means not my will, but yours be done. Giving God your plans. Giving God your habits. Oh, my gosh. Giving God your future. Giving God your identity. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. See, when I read that, I thought that was a difficult thing, because when they sacrificed on the altar, that means the animal that they brought was supposed to be perfect, without blemish. And God wants me to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. I'm like, how can I do that? The only way I can do that is if I have a relationship with God, and He makes me holy, and He makes me acceptable. That's the only way I can do it. And then He says, this is your reasonable act of worship. This is how you worship your God. It's through a relationship and through surrender. Sacrifice, anything consecrated and offered, that means set apart. That means I should be set apart. And then it goes deeper. If you ever read Romans 1 and 2, it says, by the renewing of your mind, you be transformed. That means not only your bodies, but your mind and what you're thinking. Not only your strength, but everything that goes along with everything becomes a living sacrifice. Everything. To serve God means surrender. You've surrendered it. That's hard. That's a difficult thing. And you could be like, well, I don't know if I can do that, but the one living in you can. You're not by yourself. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed by this world. The world is defined for us in John, 1 John 2:15. It says, do not love the world or the things in it. If anyone loves the world, the Father's love is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but it is from the world. Do not go into the pattern of this world. When you surrender to God, you're not patterning yourself. You're not going into the pattern of the world. You're not doing what they do. You're not saying what they're doing. You're not singing what they're doing. You're set apart. You want to serve, you be set apart. You be in an act of surrender. It's not my will, but your, and you just... Any kind of big moment in my life, when I accepted Christ, I always got on my knees and I picked my hands up, and I always did this. I always got down And I said, I give up. I don't know who you are. I walked into a church, Lord, and Matthew, I read Matthew, the pastor was doing Matthew, and Peter was walking on water, and Jesus was there, and then he started drowning, and then Jesus said, why are you doubting me? And he picks him up, I said, Lord, I am drowning right now, and I don't know anything about Scripture, I don't know anything about this, but I need you to save me. And I was in an active surrender, like I have nothing else. And one of the most amazing things happened that winter when I randomly walked into a church. This guy named Philip, you know, I just lost my job. I was done. Now I didn't eat for a month. It was the beginning of November. I didn't eat solid there. And then all of a sudden, who is visiting me? You know, I kept thinking, you know, I was so weak, I couldn't even get up. And this little guy, about this tall, his name is Philip, shows up. Hey, you visited our church. We want to bring you Thanksgiving dinner. And then they did a... do you want it? And I'm like, I've not been eating like forever. And I'm like, no, I don't want it like that. And so, tell you what, we'll leave it right here on your porch. And so they leave it, but I'm only one guy, and they left enough for a family to eat. In almost in every instance, and I can only testify for me. And I try when I talk to people, I try to tell them what I've testified in my surrender. The next one was, you know, the next time I did the little surrender thing was for a wife. The youth minister at the time and said, unless you, God becomes the greatest lover of your life, he will not fulfill the desires of your heart. You know, I cried. And I got down on my knees, and I can testify to this. I said, Lord, I am lonely, but if you're all I ever have, and that's when my call to ministry happened, I went, I'm just going after you, God. And when I surrendered, man, I'll kid you not. And I'll tell people this all the time, you know, that when you... I think no less than a month after I did that, this crazy person shows up in my life. And I don't even know what it means to love somebody. And I'm like, man, why can't I leave this sick person alone? And am I in love? You know, and I kept thinking, I didn't even want to say the word. Am I in love? God, I've never felt this. I've never felt like this before. And so, so I'm going to challenge you. If you want to serve God, surrender. It works. And not because you want something out of it. Because that's who you are because of your relationship with God. Let me see here. This is a tough one. Next step. Obedience. Right? Obeying. That's a difficult. I think that's a difficult. You know, if you want to serve God, you got to be obedient. So when he calls you, you're like, yes, God. You know? Yes, God. Let me tell you. One of the most difficult to end in, well, I'll tell you what, let's go in some scripture here as we go. John 14:15, if Jesus is talking to disciples, says, if you love me, keep my commands. Obedience means doing what God says. living by his word, saying yes to the Lord even when it's hard, trusting his way over your way. 1 Samuel chapter 15. They're having a battle, okay? King Saul, new king of Israel, and the Lord says to Samuel to tell Saul, Saul, I need you to wipe out the Amalekites. Okay, I had to learn it too. I don't even know if I said it right. It's Amalekites. Okay, wipe them out. I don't want you to take any of the plunder. I don't want you to take anything from this battle. Okay, take the king out. Take everybody out. I don't even want the goats. I don't want the sheep. I don't want nothing. And King Saul goes like this. Okay, Samuel, we'll go do that. And so they go and they, I think it's Kishites or whatever. There's two people living together. It's the Amalekites and the Kishites. Okay, sorry, it's Tourette's or something. I don't know. Kishites. It's Kishites. And then Saul goes to the Kishites. He said, you leave. We're fixing to decimate the Amalekites. Just like God told us to do. Okay? It goes back all the way to Moses. When Moses was going into the wilderness, the Amalekites said, you can't go this way. You have to go somewhere else. And they were a stumbling block for Israel for generations and generations and generations and generations. And finally, God says, done. And so Saul, King Saul of Israel, says, okay, we're going to do that. And so they go in and they just decimate the Amalekites. But they keep the king alive. Agag is his name. I think that's his name. The good sheep, the good goats, anything valuable, you know, they keep all that around. And then the word comes to Samuel, and Samuel goes like this. I think through the conversation is, oh, I wish I didn't make Saul king of Israel. And he had regrets. Samuel shows up and Saul and his men are like, you know, they're throwing a party. Yeah, we won. We beat the Amalekites. And they're just like celebrating and celebrating and celebrating. And then all of a sudden, Samuel comes in and says, what is that bleating I hear in my ears? And Saul is going, well, there's a sheep, and you didn't want us to get the sheep. We're going to sacrifice the sheep later and stuff. And the men were getting antsy, so we had to go into battle. And why is that man still alive? The king. And he just made excuses. And he goes, God doesn't want your sacrifices. He wants your obedience. He don't want you just going to church. He wants you being obedient. He don't want you going through the motions of Christianity. He wants your obedience. And then the word picture is this. Saul was leaving and he was like, oh, please come worship. Please. And then Saul was leaving and then Samuel grabs his robe and tears a piece and said, this is what's going to happen to your kingdom. And it will be torn from you. There will be a man after God's own heart. And then that's where David comes into play. God wants our obedience, not our sacrifice. It's easy to sacrifice. It's easy to give an offering. It's easy to show up to a temple. It's easy to do those things. But he wants an obedience where you're going to listen, you're going to follow. So here's the deal. I went to Tractor Supply. Okay? You're like, y'all been to Tractor Supply? A lot of tractor stuff there. And it's been a happy time at Tractor Supply, except for this one fateful day. Okay? Just one fateful day. So we go to Tractor Supply. Oh, you're not looking at your Bible because it's not in there. Okay, in case you're wondering. Okay, so we go to Tractor Supply, and this is how I am like this dog. Okay? I so picture this. And maybe you can get it. If you read deep into the story, you're like, maybe I'm like that too. Well, So we get over there, the Tractor Supply. And there's a lady, she's from the SPCA, and she shows up. And she is, they're getting, you know, taking dogs from a no-kill shelter, you know. And then there's this one dog. Her name is, it's not Amelia. The real name, I got the name mixed up. I call her Amelia, right? And my son looks at the dog. The dog is tame, you know, like in the cage, and take me out, love me, love me. And so, my son grabs, you know, she got, and the lady's like, here, take this leash, and you know, put it on the dog, and the dog's like this, and walking all over the place, you know. And then, well, she needs to go potty, and so my son takes the dog out, and goes potty. Not my son, but the dog goes potty, out there. And goes, Daddy, you know, we got to keep on. I'm like, no, you just took the dog to go potty. We don't have to go keep the dog. And so so we go, and we get the dog. And then we have not adopted this dog. And then the lady, because he's the first person that shows up, says, you know what? I think we need a picture. And so my son has this dog. And then the lady goes like this. And my son is like, you know, posing like this with the dog in there. And then I'm like, man, what they expecting us to adopt a dog? I don't want to adopt a dog. And then Tractor Supply lady shows up. Oh, you look so cute together. And my son is in another photo shoot with the dog, and the dog there, and they're taking a picture of him and the dog, and I'm like, oh no, we're gonna have to adopt this dog. Honey, I'm on the phone. Baby, we got a dog, and we love her so much, and so I'm on the phone, and we got the dog. Love you. You can hear the loving things. And so we get to this dog. And it is a sweet dog. I don't want to throw Amelia under the bus. Okay? So, but this is how me and her are exactly alike. We are exactly alike like this. Because Amelia will be your best friend and love you when she's next to you. But when she is out of sight, I have no idea. She has this magical power to go find something and kill it and chew it to death. And she just, I'm like, why is that sock there all torn up? Why is that stuffed animal all torn up? Why is the toilet paper all torn up? And then it is always out of your sight. You know, when I'm not watching, and she'll drift off away. I love you. You know, she's licking and stuff. And you're like, and then when there, she goes and she chews everything. Everything. You could hear all the way through the day, Amelia, where are you? Amelia, I don't see you. Amelia. And so, and Amelia's just, when she's not in your sight, she starts getting into stuff. How am I like this dog? When I'm not in direct contact and fellowship with my God, and I feel that I have free time, when I don't have an obligation at church, when I don't have to put my Christianity on here, I wander off. I wander off into my own. And I'll tell you what, this dog has some magician powers because she chews everything. She has nothing, no recourse. When I wash clothes, she has to jump in them. She's like, I can't make them keep them clean. And she's like, she just has that ability. And I relate to her because that's my relationship with God in obedience. oh, I'll wander off and I'll consume. And Amelia does not care what she eats. Plastic, metal, shiny objects, clothing. She does not care. And I find myself consuming stuff when I'm not connected to my Father. And I struggle with that obedience. And that's how I relate to her so much. Because I'll tell you what, when I show up, she's right there. At my feet, wanting to love me. When I turn around, she's wandering in places that she knows she's not supposed to be. And you know how I know that? Because she's already knows when I show up and she just shows up before you'll finish the Amelia part when you call her. And then she just shows up. She knows. In fact, when you show up, she shows up. You know what I mean? She's not tearing stuff up. Think about your relationship with God and your obedience with God in a way you obey. And I struggle with that so much, and I relate to my wild puppy dog. And she gets into junk. And I get into junk that I know that would not please my God. I don't know if you can relate. You'd be like, Joe, I don't even know what you're talking about. Maybe you can't relate to that, but I can. I can. In fact, every time I go home and I see my dog, the pound puppy, does what she does, I understand it. Because when the Father's not watching, or you have a perception of God not, you tend to stray off and do what you want to do. Can anybody relate, or is that a moot point? Yeah? Okay, good. Good. Thought it was just me on that one. So I'll tell you what, it was a lot funnier story. I was a little more elaborate when I was talking to children in that message. Because what comes, yeah, no, we ain't going to even go there. Because whatever you swallow comes out, you know, and you're like, just terrible. So, next one, serve God. You have to trust Him. Okay? You have to trust Him. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord. You want to serve God, you got to trust Him. Do not, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. You cannot serve a God if you do not trust Him. Trusting in Him means you trust His timing in your life. You're trusting His plan in your life. You're trusting His correction in your life. And you're trusting in His promise. You've got to trust God. I will never leave you, or I will never forsake you. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I will be there. You know? If a sparrow falls, I know it. I'm going to take care of you. I love you. Nothing can take you out of my hand. It's that trust thing. I trust you, God, even when I'm going through difficult times, even when my physical body is falling apart, I trust you. I think that's a difficult thing because your body, man, our bodies go through some stuff. And you're like, God, am I going to get better? And you have those, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I have this thing. My wife says, you must have Alzheimer's. You know, and I think it's selective Alzheimer's because she's like, you didn't remember that. The thing is, my whole life, when I think about a lot of stuff gets iced out. And then I'm like, God, I trust you that I don't have Alzheimer's. You know, that I trust you with everything that I have. With who my sons marry, I trust you. I trust you. If I fall, I know you're catching me, God. You always have before. I can look at my past and know that you always were there, everywhere, in every aspect of my life. I trust you in my loneliness. I trust you in those things. I trust you, God. I'm not going to be, then you're like, well, I'm not going to lean on what I understand, because what I understand is what everybody else in this world understands. I'm not going to think like them. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to trust you, God. Even when it's difficult, even when I don't see a way out of the situation, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm just going to be faithful. I'm just going to serve you. I'm going to trust you. Because when I lean on my own understanding, I have a world mentality about me. I have to somehow listen to different philosophies, and I have to, when I don't lean on my God, I'm going to lean on you. Not what I understand. It's you, God. I trust you. You want to serve God? You got to be available. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite. Isaiah 6, 8. After the angels show up and his mouth is cleansed with coal, after he said, I am unworthy to God. And then Isaiah 6, 8, he finishes up. And God is saying, who am I going to send in all these places? And Isaiah says something right here to want to serve God, to be available. He says, and I heard the voice of the Lord. This is Isaiah 6, 8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go before us? And then Isaiah said this. This is crazy. He said, here I am. Send me. I'm available to you, God. I'm available. You want to serve God? Be available. You know how many people tell me, well, I can't do that. I have to do that bowling night. Well, can you just volunteer? I got other stuff to do. And every time, and I'll ask, you know, because it's my job to not coerce or guilt people into helping do youth events and stuff like that. And I'm like, and I'm just, okay, God. And then all of a sudden, roadblock, and the availability is just not there. And I'm like, oh, God. You want to serve God, you got to be available. You know, you got to be available. Okay? And then I'll give a plug on this one. You ready? We'll do a plug. We got 242 Under the Stars. I'm going to need people here to help. And I timed it just right. Oh, yeah, you want to serve God? I'm going to challenge you. It's going to be the 24th of April. And I'm going to need somebody to run a jumpy. I'm going to need somebody to do the availability. Or just be, because we're expected to have a good crowd in there, in this parking lot, in this grassy area here. Just to be there. Availability. Availability. You know how hard that is? That is hard for a lot of people, especially when they deem it not their ministry. You know what I mean? Not their ministry. And they're like, well, I can't really be available. And then all of a sudden, well, this is what I want to do. And that's okay. I'm not like, shun. I'm not that person. Okay? I'm not laying a guilt trip on you. Am I laying one on now? Am I laying on one now? No? A little bit? Just a little? Okay. At any rate, you got to be available. If you want to serve God, you got to be available. You got to be available. And you know what? I still have about 5 pages left of this lesson that we're not going to do today, because next one is have the Holy Spirit in you. You know, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be, you know. Do you want to serve God? Most of you say yes. What are the steps? Relationship is one. First, you got to have a relationship with God. You can't serve a God you do not know. Surrender. Be available. and be obedient. God, what do you want me to do? How far do you want me to stand? And that's one of the things that I've done when I surrendered to ministry. I surrendered to ministry and I said, here I am. I can't walk away from you. You're it. You are it. You are it. You are it. And I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what you've been going through in your life. Maybe you struggle in this serving thing. And it is a gift, but it's also a calling. We are called to serve. On what capacity is whatever the Holy Spirit leads on you. How can you serve God? That is the question. I don't know what if we filled in any boxes for you in your spiritual life. I don't know if you want to serve Him now. I don't know if you want to be here on the 24th. You know, it's going to be in the evening. We're going to have music that I really am not really, you know, and it's not about me. It's going to be country music, and I struggle with country music, but it's not about me. Actually, they were the only band that said yes, okay? So, they're a gospel band. Maybe that's your calling. Maybe you're going to pray. How are you going to serve today? Are you going to serve when you leave this place? When you leave your doorpost? How are you going to serve? We're going to pray. I don't know where you are. I pray you have a relationship with God, because you cannot serve Him unless you have a relationship with Him. And we're going to close up and let's pray. Father, we come here today. I thank you so much. God, I am yours. I am yours even when I battle you all the time. When I battle you in my obedience, when I battle you in my surrender, I am yours. I've always been yours. You made me. You formed me in the womb. I can't escape you. There's no depth, no height. I can run from you. I am yours. And I surrender all today. I pray for this church. I pray for the men and women in this place. I pray that I can learn to tame my puppy dog at home. I pray that we are people that serve you in every aspect of our lives, not only in a church setting, but in our house and when we walk away and in our everyday life, that we just serve, serve, serve. Father, we love you. We love you. We love you, Lord, in your name. Amen.